to this ASAF meeting. Everybody fresh from a whole week of meetings. So I'm sure we'll have very energetic discussions today. We have two replacements today. Gail Kelly replaces Linda, because Linda had family business to take care of. And Rodrigo replaces Alexandru. Where is Rodrigo?
He's not here yet, I
don't think. Okay. Okay. He will be replacing himself. Okay. All right. Let's start with a discussion on FIs, financial instruments with characteristics of equity. I give the floor to Uni Choi.
And she will tee up the paper.
Thank you, Hans. Good morning, everyone. So at the June and July 2019 board meetings, the board discussed feedback received on the DP, and a clear message was heard from respondents that they are in favour of the board undertaking some form of standard setting to address the accounting diversity and the application challenges. So in this paper, based on our analysis of the feedback received, we identified five alternatives that the board could consider for the direction of the FICE project. And all of these alternatives would include some form of improvements related to presentation and disclosures. At the September 2019 board meeting, having considered the relative advantages and disadvantages of the five alternatives, the board tentatively decided on alternative C for the direction of the project. The board also tentatively agreed with the objectives and criteria set out by the staff to determine the scope of the project, subject to some suggestions, and directed the staff to prepare a detailed project proposal. Now, alternative C involves clarifying amendments to IS32, so that focuses on addressing the practice issues without fundamentally changing IS32. For example, the board could clarify the underlying principle for the fixed-for-fixed requirement and provide additional application guidance. Where necessary, and particularly in the absence of implicit and explicit principles in IS32, the board could, for example, also draw on the feedback received on the DP and develop new principles. We considered that it would be helpful for the board to decide on a set of criteria to determine which issues to address in the scope of the project. And in paragraphs 28 to 34 of the paper, we set out our proposed criteria and our preliminary analysis of how they would be applied to some known practice issues. And then in paragraph 35 of the paper, we also set out additional objectives that are relevant to this alternative. So we would like to ask ASAF members if they have any comments or questions on the project direction that the board tentatively decided on. And I'll now turn the discussion over to the ASAF members.
Anthony.
The purist in me would have wanted to see alternative A, but the realist in me knows it's not possible. So I think there isn't a right or wrong answer to this. Everyone wants a binary distinction between debt and equity, but everyone knows that really the real world is far more complex than that. So I think that whilst in our previous responses we lean towards a fundamental review, I completely understand why that's not been done. Of the other alternatives, I have to say I struggled a little bit to properly understand the difference between C and D. If you go on to be clarifying amendments, it would probably lead to some real changes. If you were doing D, you would have to think through the principles to come up with the patches. But having said that, I can I think we'd support the route of C. I think it's right to go into this with a set of criteria that will help direct the programme. And I think in this way we will hopefully find within obviously one of the issues is the amount of time. I think this could be done in a reasonable period of time to meet the demands, meet the challenges in a reasonable sort of period. I think one of the real problems with the previous DP was clearly a lot of new terminology and also a very dense document that people really struggled to grasp. And I think really the one recommendation I would make would be that as you progress with this and you publish documents to engage with with stakeholders, you really take that on board and trying to provide something that's accessible, understandable, so the debate can can be had earlier. I know we struggled to get to the through the dense concepts in the DP. I'm sure it was even harder to engage a user in that. Overall, I think we certainly support the tentative decisions today. But as I say, just recommend on the way forward. And the best way to get engagement is to provide something understandable along the way.
Patricia.
Well, we'd like to congratulate you for coming up with the answer we recommended. So we support C because it's very close to what we suggested in our draft, in our comment letter. We strongly agree with what Anthony said about the difficulty of reading the DP, and we think that that could have added to the comments that you got in terms of sort of don't go there, it's too big a problem. The other thing is we would encourage you to work significantly on disclosures, because one of the things we picked up was that there's a lot of concerns from users that there's insufficient disclosures about equity instruments. So if they are looking for more disclosures there, that would be closer to the sorts of disclosures they get about liabilities, so that they've got a better balance of disclosures. And as one of our helpful people said, in a standard that's a bit short of principles, if you find under approach C that you issues you can't address because there's just not enough in there, then approach C could be adding some more principles in order to deal with those. But we think approach C is the right way to go, so we're supporting that.
Yu Chen.
Thank you. We also agree with alternative C, which was recommended by the staff. Because according to our observation, the Chinese stakeholders have not encountered significant challenges when applying the principles of classification of liability and equity in IAS 32 for most of the financial instruments. So that's also similar to the analysis in the paper. The real challenge is lack of judgment guidance in practice. For example, the Chinese stakeholder and our financial instrument team raised some examples for the urgent issues. For example, the accounting for NCI puts, how to consider the relationship between contractual terms and laws and regulations. And they also need more guidance on indirect obligations and the impact of economic compulsion on contractual terms. These three issues, I think I already shared our concerns at last December SF meeting. So that's our suggestion. And to sum up, that we support the board's efforts in making improvement to IS 32, but the efforts should focus on addressing the practical issues rather than restate the basic principles and the framework for the classification of liability and equity. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Gail.
So we're also of view C, but we would flip it. We would attack the disclosure requirements first. We think users are in particular need of disclosures, and as Patricia indicated, on the equity side. So we would deal with that first and then deal with the targeted amendments to IS 32, including the addition of some underlying principle that doesn't change what is in there already. So there'll be some difficulty, I think, establishing what that underlying principle is that doesn't overturn the apple cart on instruments that are widely understood and accounted for more easily than others.
Alberto.
Thank you. Well, ideally, A should be dissolution with capital S, but it's not practical. I mean, We think that if you go that route, it will take as much time as taken for I4S 17. So it doesn't work. The nearest to alternative E is B, and we are in favor of B. There are a lot of good thoughts into the DP, intellectually stimulating the DP, and you could work on that. Clarifying the concept has already been said by Tony and Pat. Maybe with more examples, and I believe we might come to a relatively solid solution which might work for a number of years in future. Having said this, we also debated between B and C, and yes, we have a preference for B, but if you go C, we wouldn't be totally against that route.
Jay Hall.
Thank you. We also support alternative C. Stakeholders in our jurisdictions perceive that classification principles that are in the discussion paper as fundamentally different from those in current IS32. They are not convinced why such a change is necessary, given that no significant flaws have been found for current IS32. And also some perpetual instrument issued by Korean companies are currently accounted for as an equity instrument under the current IS32. The classification principles in the discussion paper would change the current classification in our practice. So companies might have to reclassify the perpetual instrument from equity instrument to financial liability. Actually, this could be a huge burden on Korean companies, and it already sent shockwaves through stakeholders in our jurisdiction. So the concern is that implementation costs will excessively outweigh the information benefit if such an accounting change were to happen. And regarding question two, we found that Korean stakeholders focus more on four issues than others among the potential issues identified for the scope of the project in paragraph 33 of the agenda paper. First, the application of the fixed condition to anti-dilution provisions. And secondly, how to present an NCI put when it is classified as a financial liability, that is to say, whether the NCI put should be deducted from interest of owners of the parent, or it should be deducted from non-controlling interest. And thirdly, presentation of changes in the value of NCI puts. And lastly, as for contingent convertible bonds, whether the liability component should include the conditionality of the settlement outcome. Thank you.
Carla.
So I'd like to present the views of the AOSSG region. So from the standard setting point of view, the feedback from standard setters, there is a small majority that actually think that alternative A would be a nirvana, but understand that might consume a lot of time and resources. And probably take a long time. So they were suggesting maybe solve the disclosure presentation problem first. So from a pragmatic point of view, the region can accept alternative C, but cautions that, you know, again, you know, you do all that work and go to alternative C, and what if, you know, some of the issues that you're trying to resolve actually requires you to go back again to look at the broader fundamentals of it. So that's really the feedback from the region.
Thank you, Hans. First of all, we do not support alternative B because we thought that the principles proposed in the DP were not robust enough. And we also do not support alternative C because we see little difference between B and C in that it does require an underlying principle. Acknowledging that there are issues emerging in this area, we do not disagree with undertaking alternative D, which would resolve some of the issues without coming up with a very strong principle, just to come up with a solution. In our view, the ISB is facing difficulty because your starting point is not to significantly change the distinction between liabilities and equity. And if that were the case, we see little benefit compared to the cost in moving this project forward. So if you are able to change that policy, we would support alternative A and basically redo everything. But if that is something you cannot do, we are more inclined to support alternative E, which is to provide more disclosures under the current classification. In terms of your alternatives, some suggest that you will move to a standard-setting project. And in our view, the distinction between a research project and a standard-setting project is whether you have a viable solution to go forward with. And we were not convinced that for some of the alternatives you really had a viable solution to go forward with. So we were not sure whether you were still in the research phase or not. So just making a decision whether to move to a standard setting phase is probably different than whether you have a viable solution or not. So we would want to see a viable solution, or it doesn't have to be in detail, but at least the sort of a direction-wise, have an idea where we want to go.
Rodrigo.
Thanks, sir. We support the alternative C, and the why? The answer is in the page 6. We do like to have a standard that solve all conceptual and application challenges, be operational and applied in consistent manner, and provide useful information. And in our opinion, it's all something impossible. We believe that the board was not able to find an approach that satisfied all needs, and because we have different products, we have different financial assets, and it's impossible to find one unique solution for that.
Mary?
I just wanted to comment on two comments that came from several different people. One is about changing classification and how much change in classification we should pursue or avoid. And I think something that came out maybe of the board discussion, perhaps a bit more than the paper, was that if we try to address existing diversity in practice, which I think everything we heard before, during, and after the DP said exists, if we achieve our objective, then we will have some change in practice to resolve that diversity in practice. And I think we have to distinguish, we have to distinguish in our communication between changes in class, and I'm talking about classification in particular, changes in classification that are a consequence of, let's say, resolving diversity in practice or clarifying a principle, versus some of the things that we explored in the DP that would be a deliberate, for this feature, let's change how we regard it. And I think an example of that is how an obligation that exists only at liquidation affects classification. So I think it's helpful when we talk about this project and what our objectives are in terms of the amount of change to maybe distinguish those two types of resulting changes in classification. And then going back to what I think I heard from several people about the importance of addressing the disclosure demands and whether we do that first or do it in parallel. Clearly, alternative E is do it first, because it really says do basically only that. But for the others, the more I have thought about it, if we're in the especially range of C or D, I think if we tried to do disclosure first, we'd run a very big risk of consultation overload. with going back to the same people, asking about the same topic of financial instrument classification and disclosure, hopefully in pretty short succession. So, you know, when as at the board table, when I was thinking about those two, I was thinking, let's try, if we're going to do something other than E, let's try and do them in parallel. And if we find ourselves bogging down on the classification issues, then I think we would have to stand back and, you know, and reassess whether we peel off the disclosure to address that on a significantly more timely basis. But I think we also have to think about, you know, for us, all of us around the table, when we think about standard setting, that's part of our day job. But if we're going back to the same population of people for whom it's an input to their day job, they might not want to talk with us, you know, at great length about two different aspects of the same package of issues. So I think that's something we have to manage.
Sue?
I was going to say something similar, just reiterate what Mary said. I think we'd need to be careful that if having looked after IFRS 9, where it seemed like a fantastic idea to do things in phases, which may have scarred my experience, I think we'd need to be careful that if we were to do presentation and disclosure first, that we don't risk having to go back and do rework. Because, for example, if there's outcomes on classification that mean that we need particular presentation or disclosure, thinking, for example, of the ideas about separate presentation for things like the NCI puts, we'd risk having to circle back again, and the populations could change slightly as well. So I think we need to be conscious of that. Having said that, I think it is those of you who sort of said, yeah, but be careful because you might go down one path and it turns out not to be a great path. I think that's good advice, because I'm not sure that alternative C is as simple as it might sound on the surface, because I think we're going to have to investigate how much of the DP we might need to use in terms of ideas to come up with principles to underpin things like fix for fixed. And I think we need to be grown up enough to sort of stop in a sort of orderly way along the way and say, OK, is this still the right path? Or should we sort of divert to E or something different? And so I think we just need to be very disciplined, and I'm sure you guys will help us stay on track and remind us if we're losing sight of what our objectives were.
Raymond?
We support alternative C, but I think the point that that Sue makes, that we may go down an unintended path if we do pursue it, I think is very, we're very aware of that, I think, in our mind, because there's certain things that I think we appreciate are working about the current IS 32, but the other things that are not working, but I think there's probably more things that are working that are not working, and I think we just need to bear that in mind as we go down whatever path we do take.
Anthony?
I never mentioned disclosures earlier on. Most people think there should be a binary line between debt and equity, but we'd all draw that line somewhere slightly differently. So actually, it seems to me disclosures about the nature of equity and also the presentation of equity, the terms and conditions around financial instruments, is probably the thing users want most here. We as standard setters are very concerned with some of the anomalies and thereby some of the individual challenges that come to you, IFRIC, about how do we apply with it in this situation. But in terms of the generality of financial statements, I think the thing that's missing is better understanding for users of the terms of the financial instruments, the capital instruments in place. So I would generally agree with the notion of taking the disclosures alongside for all the reasons Mary said, and because of the interaction with where you go on the classification measurement. I think the only reason that some would call for it earlier is not to deal with the classification issues, but actually these issues are about finding more information about the terms and the conditions of the financial instruments so that they can make their own decision anyway. So the classification doesn't matter to many of these investors because they will classify them in their model the way they want to, if they have the information. So I think that it's really only that element which I could see being capable of accelerating ahead of the wider project, and something about the detailed terms and conditions. But whether it would be worth doing that is a completely different matter, because I do take the point that the other disclosures that would be required will be dependent on the classification discussions. But I think they're probably trying to solve two slightly different problems. One is providing more information for investors to make their own decision, the other set of changes are about setting the boundary line that the standard happens to have.
Thank you, Hans. We think that alternative C is a reasonable compromise between, you know, the ideal solution or revisiting a standard from scratch almost and trying to find the impossible graal, i.e. the binary solution that will be the answer to all questions. On the other hand, we recognize that disclosures only would be too limited. So I think alternative C is a reasonable compromise, knowing that it's a narrow road. We might, Alberto was saying we would prefer B, but would satisfy ourselves with C. Could be the other way around. We're starting with C and moving towards B or moving towards D. So I think in the interest of stability, we need to correct the obvious mistakes that have taken place because of the evolution of the financial instruments. But going further would require a more ambitious and probably impossible standard-setting project. Thank you.
Gary?
I could take off my accounting standard set hat and put on my old investor hat back on. Yeah, you know, we're talking here. Everyone knows what straight debt is. Everybody knows what equity is. It's that category in the middle that are all these instruments that share characteristics of both. So if I think about it from an investor perspective, disclosure is the way to go because disclosure gives me the ability, for example, if I have a convertible debt instrument, what's the cash coupon? What are the contingent features around the conversion? Any kind of convertible features, because really what I'm looking for is what could be the potential dilution from that security. So I think, you know, if you're thinking about what to do going forward, more robust disclosures for an investor is more important than is it a debt or is it equity? How do you classify it? Because I want to think about what is the potential dilution from these, you know, features if they do convert to equity.
Yeah.
I would reiterate what Anthony and Gary said in regards to disclosure. I think users need the data points to fill their models, regardless of whether we classify something for financial statement purposes of debt or equity. So we think the disclosure aspect of a project is more urgent. And then we would also suggest that in thinking about what the underlying principle is, to use as the backbone to that the conceptual framework, and also to think about, and I know this arises in practice in my day-to-day job, is whether or not there's a difference between how you think of something under IFRS 2 as equity versus cash settled and IS 32, because that causes a quandary to users as to why something under 2 is equity classified, but if it was an issued instrument under 32, it would be debt. So to try and think about the tension that exists between those two models.
Okay. Questions?
I can just maybe, it was Nobu that made a point about whether this project is still in the research phase, whether it's a standard setting and what the difference between the two is. And I think you've quite well summarized where we are at the moment is we needed a starting point to know where to go next. And that's where these five alternatives come in. We want to start somewhere and see if we can solve the issues. But as you said, we need a viable solution. But at the moment, it's difficult to know what is a viable solution because we don't know where to start and what to use as the framework with which to do that. And that's really where these five alternatives come in and where alternative C would say, let's start with what is an IS32, what everyone knows with IS32, try and not change things fundamentally, but at least bring out what we think those principles should be to give us answers that are consistent with the rest of the outcomes you have in IS32, and then see whether we can do that. And that's sort of why this is still, from our perspective, a research project, because we need to look at whether we can get that solution. And it is, you know, possible that we might come at some point and say, well, okay, alternative C is not going to work. We have to go either towards A or E or whatever the case is. But we just needed a starting point, and that's really why we are still keeping it as a research project, but having a starting point to see if we can find those viable solutions. to solve the issues.
Okay. All right. That's it.
Very quick. Yeah.
You 1 hour ahead of schedule. I thought would happen today. Yeah. Okay.
My agenda.
We should have a break, but I don't think we will. Is the dynamic risk team here?
Yeah, problem. I'm not correct.
I
can we get them here?